a shot in the dark, wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, kids, here we go. I messed this up, so I want to check it. Episode 296, is that right? Yes, 296. I jumped ahead the other day and skipped over to 94. I mean, I was tired. I was half asleep. I was sick is what I was. All right, so today, episode 296, it is St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. It's a day that everybody gets to be Irish for a day. I'm Irish all year long, you know. Whaley, it's a pretty good Irish name. You know, it's funny. I've always been told our surname was Irish, and then there was this question about whether we were Irish or English, and there was some history with England and stuff. And so I obviously, especially being a Catholic, I was rooting for the Irish, right? And so we did some research and looked into it, and it turns out we're named after Whaley Abbey. So I'm like, yes, finally a clue. I got it. Whaley Abbey. Now all I have to do is figure that out. So by that time, the internet had come around. So I plug it in and start doing some research on the internet. Sure enough, found Whaley Abbey. In fact, I found two of them, one in England, one in Ireland. So there's one outside of Manchester, outside of Whaley Bridge. And I think there's another one outside Dublin, I believe. I think it's outside Dublin. So there you go. Two of them. So I was back full circle to, okay, Irish, English, which one? So one day I was waiting tables. I was a wine steward at the ranch house in Ojai, California. And there was a beautiful young Irish woman there. And we started talking, and she asked me my name or something. I said, Whaley. And she says, oh, so you're Irish. And I said, well, there's a question about whether we're Irish or English. And she said, oh, well, no, you're Irish. And I'm like, well, I'm rooting for the Irish, but tell me, why do you think I'm Irish? Because I said, we're named after Whaley Abbey. And she goes, I know. And she says, well, yeah. And she said, well, so Patrick, the day that we're celebrating today, brought Christianity from England into Ireland. He went back after having been a slave and sold as a slave, went back to his captors from England into Ireland. But monasticism came from Ireland back into England. So a lot, evidently, so I haven't really double checked this, but evidently a lot of these monasteries that were in England were full of Irish monks. And so if there's two monasteries named that same thing, chances are one of them was a daughter monastery, the other. Now, I did do some more research, and it turns out there was a guy that was a cousin of Cromwell, I believe, who was named Burnchapel Whaley, who was decidedly very much not Catholic. And so he was actually burning down churches and stuff. So evidently part of our family jumped ship at some point, or people in that with that name, but we were included among the families that got ran out of Rhode Island, and our name is included on the list of families that helped build the Abbey of Gethsemane down in Trappist, Kentucky, just south of Bardstown, where Thomas Merton lived, which is ironic because I am a giant Thomas Merton fan, and he played a huge role in my conversion. But so that's pretty interesting. Now, our family, from what I've been told, the Whaleys that were from Ireland that came here, and this is why this is, I didn't know this part, but this like settles it. At least we had family from Ireland, because our forebear was in an Irish prison, and the St. Joe Mining Company may have cut a deal with the Irish prison system and offered a chance for some of these convicts to come over and work in the lead mines. And I am from a place called the Lead Belt. Is every little town had a lead mine. And so that's how we ended up over here. So I'm pretty Irish most of the year. And I kind of dig it. I'm into the Irish thing. I don't celebrate it. I don't have like tons of Celtic stuff all over the house or whatever. But I definitely I've never been. And I really want to go. It's like on my bucket list is go to Ireland, really experience that. Go visit Whaley Abbey. There's Whaley Abbey and Whaley Abbey Country Home. Whaley Abbey is now just it's just the ruins of an old monastery out there in a field, from what I understand. I don't think there's much of anything left standing, just some stones sitting on top of each other. And I don't know how much of it's left, but I don't think there's much of it at all. But that's on my list. So there you go. So St. Patrick's Day today. And, you know, when St. Patrick performed his famous miracle where he, Jesus turned water into wine, and St. Patrick, he threw the Blarney Stone into the beer and turned the beer into green beer. And no, he didn't. That's stuff that we made up in America. But I was talking about this on the last show about how different dioceses will some dioceses will take away the requirement to fast if St. Patrick's Day falls on a Friday during Lent. Denver did not. Colorado Springs did. It turns out canonically it has to do with where you're at when you consume the meal. So we're going to knock down some serious corned beef and cabbage tonight at Chris Stefanik's house. And Chris, who I tried to get on the show today, and he turned me down. So you know what? He's having me over to his house to eat corned beef tonight, but couldn't get him to do a show today. You know, I'm not going to gripe. He probably had to go home and put the corned beef in and get it rolling. So there we go. St. Patrick's Day. So the other thing I want to talk about is... this is kind of hard. So today is the last day, the last show that you will hear edited and produced by the lovely and talented Jennifer Longworth. So Jennifer has been my producer. She's kind of been involved with the production of my show, and she's been kind of my contact, one of my major contacts with Breadbox Media since I began. She was in this game before I was, and she's moving on. So even when Ethan was my producer for a long time, she was still kind of in the wings and was working on it sometimes. But Jennifer is moving on. And so, you know, she found a new gig. I guess she got, you know, she got her good Star Trek uniform out, cleaned it up, pressed it, went down there, got the job. You know, she caught Pokemon all the way down to the interview in her good Star Trek uniform and got the job, and now she's leaving us behind. Jennifer is I've only met Jennifer one time in person when I did episode 200 down in Lexington, and we had our live show when I met her at a barbecue restaurant with the rest of the Breadbox crew when I met them all at once. But Jennifer's someone that I communicate with almost every day, and she has really been on the inside of the drama of my life and the frustration of my life. First of all, she has to listen to my show every day, so she's listened to the show like constantly. She's probably my most devoted listener because she edits the thing. And then she also, we correspond constantly about the show and about, so if I can't, so whenever you just see, oh, he didn't do a show today, whatever drama happened that I didn't get to do a show, Jennifer got to hear it. it's a sad day to lose Jennifer. And I'm sure everybody here at Breadbox Media is sorry to see her go. And, it's the end of an era. I mean, 300 episodes, sneaking up on 300 episodes of this show have had her fingerprints on it. And she's been through all the weird tech stuff that I went through, all the different solutions and trying to figure out how to do this. I was such a newbie. I had never done anything like this. Trying to figure out everything about how to do a show. She's just been there for me. So we super duper wish Jennifer Longworth a fond farewell. And I want to get Jennifer on the show sometime, just do an interview. So That should be fun. We'll just it'll just be a solid hour of me making Pokemon jokes and Star Trek uniform jokes. Jennifer is she's a nerd. I mean, in the best sense of the word, Pokemon, Star Trek, the whole nine yards. And you know, I'm from a family of Trekkies. You know, I don't have a uniform or anything, but I'm from a family of people that are pretty serious about their Star Trek. So I consider Star Trek people to be my people. You know, even though I'm kind of like, I'm into it. I dig it. I'm just not quite there, you know. So anyway, we wish Jennifer Longworth all the luck in the world, and hope that she can come back around sometime and at least be on the show. Maybe give us a listen every once in a while. So, all right. So today, special treat, and I already told you not that special treat. I got my friend Jonathan Irvin coming on. So we're going to do a few segments with Jonathan Irvin. I was going to bring him on. We're going to have a random conversation. Just talk about whatever comes up. I'm probably going to give him a ton of crap about being a Cubs fan, because about 30% of our relationship is Cubs versus Cardinals. And so Jonathan's going to be on for the rest of the show, and it should be pretty fun. So I hope you guys are all having a good St. Patrick's Day. Don't drink too much green beer. Leave the green beer alone. Order a Guinness and a decent Irish whiskey. You know, just because it's St. Patrick's Day doesn't mean you have to be banal. Come on, the green beer, please. That's just horrible. Get a Guinness. If I could have a Guinness, I'd get one. All right, so let's go off to the break, and when we come back, we're going to have Jonathan Irvin, and you're listening to The Counter Position. I'm your host, Andrew Whaley. We'll be right back.
I'm a sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counter Position, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
I'm a skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. See only one on track.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Redbox Media. All right, kids, as promised, I have for you a special treat. No, I know what you're thinking. Not that special treat. Not Chris Special Treat Stefanik. No, a different special treat. I tried to get Chris Stefanik. I couldn't get Chris Stefanik today. He blew me off. So I had to go with the working man's Chris Stefanik. So please welcome the working man's Chris Stefanik, John Irvin.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be here. Thanks, Andrew.
The working man's Chris Stefanik.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, you know, it's like you ever see like a movie, and the way that they've got some actress, and the way she looks, you never heard of her before, but the way mm-hmm. she looks mm-hmm. and her mannerisms and the way they have her styled, you're like, oh, they wanted to get Jennifer Aniston and couldn't get her.
Right.
And so like, this is the working man's with Jennifer Aniston. This is like the close second.
I got you. You're kind of
the working man's Chris Stefanik.
Like Chris Stefanik's ghostwriter, but
You're the Chris Stefanik stunt double.
The stunt double, yeah, that might be true.
I'm gonna mock Chris like this until he comes back on my show.
Yeah, you should.
Kudos to you. You came on the show. Mm-hmm. I asked three friends to be on the show today, and they're all like, "No, I got too much to do." Ever Fritz, I need more notice. John Sehorn, Dr. John Sehorn. No, I need more notice. Chris Stefanik. Oh, dude, I want to, but I can't do it today.
Yeah.
So you came through.
I did. I heard that you were needing a guest, and I was like, I'll do it. That'd be fun. I've always wanted to be on the show.
Yeah,
so.
I know, and I'm kind of bummed. We only have two segments today, but yeah, we can have you back.
Okay. I might get in trouble with my boss Steve. So.
Yeah, we don't want to get you in trouble. No. So. All right. So, John, it's pretty funny. So, this show is called The Counter Position.
The Counter Position.
Mm-hmm. Which is a play on words, because it's my take on the world from my position.
Right.
Which is for 23 years, roughly, behind the counter.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
John actually knows me from the counter position.
Oh, yeah.
Because we kind of met from across the coffee bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So John works here at the Augustine Institute.
Mm-hmm.
This center, as always, when we are recording in a bunker underneath a center of the new evangelization.
Yeah, I helped build this, actually.
Nestled somewhere in the Rockies, not unlike NORAD, as I always say. So you work at this center of the new evangelization.
I do.
Nestled to Rockies, not unlike NORAD.
Yeah, it's close to NORAD, but just a few miles down the road.
So you helped build this little shindig here, huh?
I did, this little booth. Yeah, I helped
build
it.
Yeah, so the room that used to just be like my random like storage room that they let me have as an office. And then, so it was pretty funny. Like back when Travis built the original kind of like ghetto booth.
Yep.
It was like I had this room that they let me use as an office, and I came in one and I recorded it in there just on a desk, right?
Right.
And then I came in one day and there was like this little booth set up, and I'm like, man, that was so nice, man. Someone set me up a little booth. Had nothing to do with me whatsoever.
No, I think that had to do with the formed people. So.
Right. So God used you guys to give me what I needed.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate that.
Yeah. That's really great. Like, I think this booth is actually nicer than what it was. So.
Oh, it's way nicer now that this. Justin was telling me how they built this, and it's like $30 worth of like foam tiles and you know, an IKEA table and some stuff. I mean, I want to make one of these in my house.
You totally should. It's really easy. I mean, you just somehow need to find these cubicle walls, but
yeah, we can make it. Yeah. So John works in Augustine Studios here, and so he's involved with the
Augustine Institute Studios.
We can't
be Augustine Studios anymore because it's not part of the brand, but.
All right, okay, Augustine Institute Studios.
Yeah,
could you be Augustine Institutios? Institutios?
No.
All right, so Augustine Institute Studios. So John works in that in that world with the film and editing and design and sound and all that stuff. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So mostly my main title is the motion graphic artist for Augustine Institute Studios.
So you're the one that puts the motion in the ocean.
Motion in the ocean or motion in the air. I don't know.
Whatever. Wherever motion needs to be.
Yep.
If there's motion, you put that motion into it. You animate.
I animate the graphics.
You breathe life into things.
Yeah.
You're kind of like in the image of God in that way. You're like the Holy Spirit.
Yep. Just kind of like breathing life and like giving it soul.
That's amazing. That's
it's kind of like Motown.
You are pretty funky. I mean, you have soul.
Groovy.
So, Jonathan, let's get back in. I don't know a ton about your story other than you're from flyover country out there like I am, you know.
It's a great place to be from.
Where are you from?
The great state of Nebraska. The good life.
Yeah, Nebraska. See, I'm from Missouri. It's
Missouri's okay, but Nebraska's better.
I mean, we have these things called hills.
So do we.
Yeah, like two.
I'm from Omaha.
Like two of them.
It's hilly. It's rolling.
Is it rolling?
Rolling hills, bluffs. Yeah.
Omaha.
It's beautiful.
Omaha is your Omaha?
Yeah, I guess so. That's a whole new thing that people started coming up with lately in the millennial era. So
you know, I heard that the first time when I was studying at the Augustine Institute a million years ago. I was in a class, and we had to listen to all these people. We had to go up and introduce ourselves and answer some certain questions, and we had to listen to everyone. And then the trick was that we didn't know was coming after we were all done. The teacher picked a random person out of the crowd and assigned them another person who had gone and asked them to repeat everything. It was like a lesson on learning.
Oh, wow.
And I got Julie Reif.
Okay.
And I had to say, and she said, Omaha is my Omaha. And so I said, Omaha is my Omaha.
Wow. It's a good place to be from. It's a great place.
Yeah. Nebraska. I'm getting ready to go to the, what's it called? The Symposium on the Advancement of the New Evangelization.
Oh, right.
At Benedictine. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to swing up through Lincoln.
Dude, do it.
And check out.
You should check out the Newman Center's church. It's very beautiful. I saw it over Christmas break, and that was like the first time I've seen it since they built it, which was like a few years ago, but it was gorgeous. It's probably like the nicest church I've ever seen on a college campus.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm, you know, TAC, we got Our Lady.
Secular school.
We got the Our Lady of the Most Blessed Trinity.
Right, okay. Which is, not a Catholic school, a college or university.
So we'll get secular
State
school.
University, yeah.
Okay. Just so
it's gorgeous. It's
we did build
it's amazing.
We did kind of go over the top of this chapel we built. It's like,
right.
I mean, it's pretty simple for that style of church. There's no mosaics. There's no frescoes. There's no like, you know, but it's pretty over
it's
the
pretty,
top.
Yeah, it's, I've seen
it's,
the.
It's kind of over the top.
I've seen the pamphlets they have sometimes laid out for the alumni. I mean, I'm like, no one's going to be going to school there. I guess maybe for the St. Thomas More kids that come to Mass with their parents.
You know, I think, I don't know who brought, somebody brought all those in and dropped them off, but it wasn't me. I swear it wasn't me. I think it was like, Father Riley or somebody went out there for
really?
A visit. Somebody went for a visit and then they brought all this gear back, all this stuff.
It's beautiful. It looks like a really beautiful campus. So.
It's
like dang.
In the Los Padres National Forest. Like, right inland from the coast.
I would totally live there.
I mean, it's I would too if I could afford it. We'll see. I'm working on it. We'll see. All right, so you're from Nebraska.
I'm from Nebraska.
Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
Omaha, Nebraska.
Yep. Well, yeah, my parents, I grew up in Omaha, and then when I was in sixth grade, we moved to a really small town called Murdoch, Nebraska, and so I grew up there from sixth grade until I graduated high school.
And Murdoch.
Murdoch, Nebraska.
How many people in Murdoch, Nebraska?
About 240.
Wow. Okay. You got me beat.
Because
I grew up in a town of 4,000, but we were butted up against other little towns.
It wasn't even a town. I guess it's called a village because it's that small. That's not
like
considered
a
town.
If you blink, you miss it kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, we're pretty well known, like, in sports, I guess. Like, the smallest class for 11-man football before it goes to 8-man. But, I grew up in this pretty small town. It's two towns together, made our school, and then had a good time.
Field parties?
Field parties, minimum maintenance road parties.
Sitting on bales of hay with a bonfire?
I've done that, yeah. We did that for our homecoming stuff. But, yeah, the field parties or road parties, you'd sit on the back of a truck and drink Busch Light because that was all they could. I mean, you get like a 24-pack for like, what, $8 or something?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I bought.
You'd find that.
I've never bought Busch Light. I bought Bud Light.
Yeah.
The Busch Light didn't exist when I was in high school. I'm super old.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah. I'm not going to even you don't look old. You look great.
Yeah, well, hey, thanks. Hey, I have a face for radio.
You got that beautiful gray beard going.
I do have this serious beard going. I mean, it's getting out of hand. I'm kind of digging
it. Nick Offerman.
You know, I made a video the other day, and I sent it to John Leindecker, because I made it for someone else, but it was just me looking at the camera, pondering, stroking my beard, and I sent it to Leindecker, and I said, I'm pondering how much I miss you, John.
Oh, man. John Leindecker.
But I decided that I'm going to make, next year, I'm going to make like a Yule log type video like Nick Offerman.
Right.
Where it's just going to be a close-up of me just sitting there drinking a cup of coffee and just stroking my beard for like an hour.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be thinking every once in a while. I'm just going to kind of, like nod. I'm just going to be pondering something.
I want to be Nick Offerman if I could.
Who doesn't want to be
Nick Offerman? Everyone wants to be the... I don't know what their names are. The HGTV couple, you know, they do like the Fixer Upper show.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, but everyone's like, I want to be them. I was like, no, like I want to be Nick Offerman because he knows how to live. Like, they know how to like fix homes and like
that guy
and stuff.
Nick Offerman, that guy is a bona fide real woodworker.
Oh yeah,
he's involved with this new documentary on Wendell Berry.
Yeah,
I mean he's like that guy's he's legit.
He's a true American.
Nick Offerman is a true American. Yep. You could tell it by the mustache.
The mustache, the beard. He's got good humor, and he just like uses his hands to create beautiful things.
This is
what we're supposed to be.
All right, Nick Offerman is a true American. There's no doubt about
that's
that.
True.
And John Irvin is a true American.
Yeah. Born
except
on the 4th
for
of July.
Except for the fact that he's a Cubs fan.
Oh.
But
no, that's actually a sign of true Americans being a Cubs fan because they're red, white, and blue. And that's the colors of our country.
No, my producer's talking to me, telling me, no, I'm sorry, we have to go to a break. Yeah.
And they won the World Series. So,
yeah,
I mean,
all right, so.
They're going to do it again.
Yeah, so, okay, so we're going to go to the break. When we get back, we're going to get more into the life and times of Jonathan Irvin. We'll see you on the other side. Go Cards.
Little how we crave a hanging in his dark.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
People singing, please don't sting. please don't go.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your weary and buried underneath a giant building host. I'm trying not to say how
low we are. Very low. Yeah,
we're like in the basement two, right?
Yeah, B2, which is pretty far down. I think
it is. We're like the trolls.
Yeah,
we're like trolls of the institute. We're down here in the basement.
People in cemeteries are buried higher up than we are right now.
You know what? But we're on the same level as the chapel.
That's true.
So Jesus is down here with us.
He's
so,
right across the way.
Right, we are literally feet from Jesus as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. We're in good company,
which is great. Very blessed to be here.
Yeah, so. And you know what? And Jesus is so accommodating. He's so welcoming. He'll let all kinds of people, even Cubs fans, come near him. I mean, that's how.
Oh, I think like being
he
a Cubs.
I have a lot in common. No. I let a Cubs fan on my show.
Oh man,
and me and Jesus have a lot in common.
I think Jesus is more like a Cubs fan because like.
That's
ultimately, he was considered a failure, but then in the end, he won. And like how the Cubs are always considered a failure.
Yeah, but he wins. He keeps winning every day, and you guys won once.
Well, they won like almost every day last year, except for like a few games.
Yeah.
And then we're...
All right. We can save the argument for the Cubs later here. Because this is a core of John and I's relationship. A St. Louis Cardinals fan by birth and by choice.
Mm-hmm.
He got lucky once, you know, as a Cubs.
We told you it was coming, and it did come in our lifetime.
You told me
and
it
we
was
came,
coming 3 years in a row. You told me it was coming.
Yeah, I was like, just wait for two more
next
years
year.
Or whatever.
Next year.
No.
Yeah. It's going to.
And then
year.
We celebrated in front of you, like in your face. So.
Yeah, it was. Things got kind of out of hand during the. Yeah. It's fine. I get it. You know, when you only win one of these every 108 years, you have to really whoop and holler and make a big deal of it. I mean, the Cardinals will win a World Series, and I'll barely even hear about it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh.
We're just getting used to it at this point.
Sound like you're a true fan then, because, like, Cardinals fans let me know when they win. Like,
well, you
all
know,
my friends.
I mean,
all
if,
my
if
friends
I know
from St.
This,
Louis.
You know, I mean.
Like, well, you guys are arrogant.
All right, so. So you were born you're born in Omaha, but you grew up in this tiny little town drinking Bush Light.
Yeah. Which is not a good idea. But
don't
do it, kids.
That's bad, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be drinking Bush Light.
Okay, you know.
Okay. Bush Light's bad, okay. So then where'd you go to college at?
Actually I went to the University of Nebraska, Omaha, my freshman year, first semester. Then second semester I transferred to the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. Where where the Cornhuskers are.
The UNL is what
UNL,
called?
Yeah, yeah, UNO and UNO. Because I was going to try out for baseball team at UNO, thinking like I was good enough to at least make Division II. But I missed the tryouts, so I transferred the next semester and got.
If you weren't good enough for a Division II, you probably would have at least been good enough to be on the Cubs, though. I mean, you know.
Not anymore. They're way too good.
So, anyway, then
I transferred after that the next year, sophomore year, and went to the Art Institute of Colorado, the other AI of Colorado.
Oh, wait a minute. You went to Art Institute?
Yeah, downtown on 12th
really?
And Lincoln.
Uh-huh. Really?
So I moved out here in 2008.
On 12th and Lincoln? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you were already out here.
Yeah, I was out here, October 2008 is when I moved out here, and then.
And so what did you study at the Art Institute?
I studied video production.
Video production.
And that's what I'm doing now. Yep.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah. Jesus spoke to me one night after watching The Human Experience by Grassroots Films
out of
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was also in a long-distance relationship with the girl from the Bronx. My uncle was a CFR. And so I was like, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work for Grassroots. I'm going to move to New York, and we're going to get married. And I was 20 years old. So very naive, and
it didn't work out.
Did not work out, but by God's grace, it has worked out because I was inspired to by that movie to make videos for the Catholic Church and everything, and that's what I'm doing today.
I've been to their offices. I have pitched a documentary to Joe Campo before.
Yeah, Joe Campo. Yeah. I was emailing him a lot.
I love Joe.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
Joe's a great dude.
Yeah, he was good friends with my uncle when my uncle was living there. So,
yeah, I remember when I met Joe, I was sick as a dog. Mm. Like I'd beaten off two bad colds and flus and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to the New York encounter. And then I went out because we were thinking about doing this documentary and we were going to like hire Grassroots to do some of the shooting and editing mm-hmm. on it, right? And I picked up bronchitis.
Oh, wow.
So I took this car out there and he called me. All I remember is barely just like sitting in this office talking to him and him calling me a car. And I was getting worse by the moment.
Ugh.
And then I went to LaGuardia and I sat down on a plane.
Not a good place to get sick is in New York, by
right.
the way.
Right. So I go to LaGuardia, get on a plane, and I sat down next to this woman who's a little older than me. She's right. kind of older sister mothering me.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of got to talking and hit it off. And it turns out it was Carl Anderson's little sister.
Oh, wow.
Nina Powers.
That's
Shout
crazy.
Out to Nina Powers if you're ever listening. and she's Carl Anderson.
Yeah. Knights of Columbus,
the guy that runs Knights of Columbus yeah. on planet Earth. Is yeah, her older his, brother.
Wow. And that's really cool.
And we were stuck in coach together, and I was sick as a dog, and she, like, took care of me the whole time.
That's cool.
I ended up speaking at her conference up in Washington.
That's called a providential
meeting. It's super providential. You know? I'll tell you the full story some other time.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to get over, and so you ended up in Focus, right?
I ended up with Focus.
Were you a missionary?
Yep. I was an on-campus missionary for 3 years.
Where
and my first year was at Texas State University. Eat 'em up, cats, if there's any people out there. Yep. So in Texas State in San Marcos, Texas, which is right between San Antonio and Austin. So that was a pretty cool place to be.
Yeah, for sure.
And it had a river running through the town, so you could go float the river, jump in whenever you wanted, because it was, 70 degrees
yeah.
pretty much all year. So then I moved back to Colorado the next year and was... missionary at University of Northern Colorado for 2 years.
Up in Greeley.
Mm-hmm.
Greeley.
Yeah, Greality.
Greality.
I called it the Grizz.
Greeley. I remember I was getting gas in Greeley one day when I lived up in Fort Collins, and I get out of the car and I'm just like, I'm sitting there just like holding my breath.
Right.
It just
was it a
like,
Tuesday or a Thursday?
And it just smells like cow crap, man.
Yeah,
it's like
horrible.
Manure, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, got my hand over my mouth, but there's this. And there's this old cowboy in a huge dually truck.
Yep.
And he just looks over at me and he goes, "Smells like money." It's like,
that's what they say up there. It's like, today's a money day.
I was like ooh, buddy.
And it's not like, it's such a different culture up there than most of Colorado is now. Like, most of Colorado is kind of like, you know, granola or hippie or hipster now.
Oh, it's
And like
so
up there, it's very Western and
super
small
Western.
Town. So it reminded me of Nebraska in ways, but. I don't know. They weren't as happy. It is
Northern Colorado.
Not as happy.
Also, I remember I went to the blues festival
mm-hmm.
in Greeley, and there was like, it's a blues festival,
right?
Right. And so not on stage, there was like four black people in the whole stadium.
Oh no.
And I'm like, only in Northern Colorado could you go to a blues festival and it be this white.
Right.
I mean, it's like, it's the whitest place in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Northern Colorado is like white as
There's a lot of Hispanics in Greeley.
Well, that's true in Greeley. You're right. Yeah. There are a lot of Latinos.
But they would not be going to a
they
blues festival.
They were not going to the blues festival.
Nope.
But
I could ask PJ about that.
PJ. I've started to make jokes about PJ's authentic nature, whether or not he's really a Mexican, but, you know, we're going to leave it alone.
He doesn't know Spanish.
I know. I tease him about it all the time.
I love the kid. He's a good roommate.
I speak Spanish to him all the time.
Hey, PJ, you should listen to this.
Shout out to PJ. PJ's your roommate?
One of my roommates, yeah.
Yeah, that works for me in the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so.
Back to Nebraska. So, or no, Focus. I'm at, yeah, I was
Focus,
missionary.
Yeah. So how was that? That's like, I was talking earlier about St. Patrick going into the wilds of Ireland. And,
right.
Facing all these pagans and trying to find ways to connect with them and affirm what was good in them. That was just kind of like being a Focus missionary, right?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, shoot. I mean, I kind of lived that lifestyle a little bit in high school. And then, like, by the grace of God, like, got out of, like, the party culture my freshman year.
This is the roadside Bush Light culture?
Yeah, the roadside Bush Light culture. And then, like, just, like, random house parties that you would go to in college. My first, like, first semester of freshman year was pretty rough, and then like God just kind of pulled me out of that. But so I kind of knew like what the lifestyle was.
So did you grow up Catholic?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so you just
kind of lived a double life. Like,
yeah,
I knew.
Well, you did the typical kind of like get to college and you just kind of go nuts thing. You know?
Yeah,
of course.
So no, actually, it was nuts in high school, and then like And then like for like second semester, I like had my like reversion, like, or just like totally like had the conversion after a retreat. So, that's a longer story. so, but anyway, yeah, like going into the college campus, it was like, I knew what the culture was like, a lot of drinking and stuff. And just kind of like, you know, the hookup culture. So it was just a very poisonous thing, and just being like, okay, but like I, you know, came to know Christ in college, and I was like, I want to bring that same like experience to like all the college students.
So did
like,
you just like go out?
Because I knew they weren't happy.
Did you just like stand on a soapbox, just scream at them, and
yep.
tell them they're all
I had one of those little microphones. I'm like, you're going to hell, son of a bitch.
You're going to hell.
On here, but
you probably could have got away with that on this show, but well,
okay.
Thank you for stopping.
Yeah.
You're all going to hell. You're all going to H-E double hockey stick.
No.
On a grease pole.
That's no, we didn't do that. But like Texas State was like known as, like my buddy, like Brian DeAndre told me, like, Texas State is a big party school. It's like the like, was not like Playboy's like number one party school one year, like when they had like the big rankings. And the, so
University of Missouri, like one year.
Oh yeah.
They didn't make the list, but there was an asterisk next to number one. When
right.
you follow it down, it said, we didn't include University of Missouri, Columbia, because you don't include professionals with amateurs.
Oh my gosh, that's ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah, Texas State was on that. And I was like, okay, like that's going to be interesting. So, but it's just like going out and like just asking questions is like what we really would do if we like went on campus to do like what we called bear handing. It's just like asking like, why do you think the culture is like, you know, you guys probably grew up Christian or had some faith, but why is the culture,
you know, we're gonna
going
have to,
in this different
we're
way?
We're going to have to leave that for another episode, man. We're out of time.
Are we?
Yeah, unless you want to stay for another episode, another
session.
Yeah?
I could do that.
All right. We'll see you after the break.
All right.
You're listening to The Counterposition. We'll be right back.
Then all the colored glass, that painter's palette smash, all the colors of my soul.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counterposition, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to save. Love decked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely, and I'm dull.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble and green beer-filled host. That is not true, Andrew Whaley. I think it's
wish.
Green beer.
I'd rather have whiskey.
Right, me too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when St. Patrick did his famous miracle where he turned beer into green beer, I mean, no, he didn't.
He didn't do that at all. Yeah. No.
No. Now, I don't think any
like, I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
Would any self-respecting Irishman actually put anything green in their beer?
No, because Guinness is too dark that you couldn't even tell.
Exactly. Right. I remember when there was a rumor when Guinness got really popular, like in the 90s, you know, and they were like, oh, they put bull's blood in Guinness. And then they're like, I heard there's like fish heads in Guinness. I'm like, dude, I don't care what it is.
It's delicious.
If that's what makes it this good, then I'll mm-hmm. put more bull's blood in it. I'll drink it. I don't care.
Yeah,
this
that was the first legal beer that I ever bought myself was a Guinness at Whole Foods at lunch with my mom. Was
really?
A Guinness. Yeah.
A Guinness at Whole Foods?
Yeah.
You could drink at Whole Foods?
In Nebraska, yeah, they have, yeah. they sell, the grocery stores can sell liquor, so.
So we're, oh, I forgot to reset this. We're here with Jonathan Irvin, my friend, customer in the cafe that I run, and motion graphic man about town, here from the Augustine Institute, and we're talking about his experience with Focus and growing up in a tiny town in Nebraska, and we're just having a conversation here for St. Patrick's Day.
That's right. It's a great day.
So, I gotta tell you about my first legal beer.
Okay.
So I'm riding around with my friends. I'm born on October 2nd.
Okay.
Right. So it's October 1st. It's a nighttime. We're driving around. We've been out skateboarding and stuff. We're riding around Flat River, Missouri in my 84 Pontiac Grand Prix. I got two guys with me and we're like talking about how it's going to just go off the next night. I'm going to be able to buy beer. I'm going to buy some beer. We're going to drink beer. It's going to be so great. And we're just all ready to go. Then one of my friends is like, hey, it's 11:45. I mean, technically you're 21 at midnight, right?
And I'm like, oh yeah.
that had not occurred to me, dude. Yes, let's do this. And so I remember we went to the 7-Eleven right by the park in Flat River, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Sat in the car for like 5 minutes. I go inside. I go to the back. I get like 6 40s of like
Gosh.
Like straight up old English.
Oh,
so I
man.
Got all this, so I get, or maybe it was like Miller High Life, you know?
Oh,
so I get
like the, that's I get, the good stuff.
I get all these like 40s, right? Mm-hmm. I come up to the counter and I set them all down and I kind of like act like I look at the clock.
Yep.
And I'm kind of looking at some chips, you know, kind of killing time for that last minute to come out. Then I just walk up, I'll have to purchase this beer, please. Can I see some ID?
Right.
I'm like, yes, you can. I pull it out. He looks at the ID. He looks over at the calendar. He looks back at the ID. He turns his arm and looks at his watch. Turns the ID, hands it back to me, says, "Happy birthday, son." He's like,
"That's awesome."
He's still wet on this one. And right. I said, "Yep." I bought it. He goes, "That's the record. You just set the record. I've had like a few minutes after. You just set the new record. I have never seen someone that on top of their 21st birthday."
That's awesome.
That's how cool. Bad I wanted to be a bad kid.
So you're the good kid until then.
No, I wasn't a good kid. I mean, I kind of had my religious conversion at like 18, 19.
Right.
I was still kind of in that small town,
drinking
culture, you know. Oh, yeah. All right. You're down in Texas.
I was down in Texas, San Marcos, Texas. Yep. It was a good time.
And you're
floating the river.
Floating the river and asking questions.
Yeah.
So what kind of questions did you ask these people?
Man.
When you were the St. Patrick of
the St. Patrick of Texas State. Not the University of Texas.
Yo, sorry.
Texas State University. Yeah. Yeah. So don't get it wrong, else they'll get mad. No.
So this would not be now that down there in that same area is Texas A&M, right? That's where all those Aggies are. Right?
No, really close is UT, which is University of Texas, because that's only like half hour north. Aggies are kind of.
Where's College Station at?
It's about northeast, so about 2 hours northeast, or an hour and a half.
But it's still all in the same.
They're
part
all very
of Texas,
kind of very central Texas.
The reason I bring that up is we've got like a ton of Aggies in this.
I know.
So many Aggies come through here.
I know.
They're doing a good job down there with the Catholics.
Oh, yeah. My roommate, Blaine's going to be working down there, so.
Is he working for College Station?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
St. Mary's, yeah. He's going to be the head of liturgy or something, so.
Blaine.
Old Blaine Jamelka. Blake Jamamey. Yeah. So, anyway.
We could go so many places teasing about Blaine.
Yeah. So.
But, you're Texas State University.
Texas State University. And, like, the questions that
questions?
Man, I think I just started asking, it's the Holy Spirit, but just kind of be like, hey guys, we're just walking around asking questions about just faith and everything. Why does it seem in today's culture, like a lot of like people our age don't go to like church anymore and stuff like that,
right.
Which would get the ball rolling. And then like, just like them answer like the question and just be like, well, like, did you grow up going, like, ask them, like, did you grow up going to, like, Mass or, like, church? Like, what, are you Catholic, Christian, or you just start asking that question.
So would they know you were, like, some Catholic dude?
Nope.
Or you were just asking them a question?
Just asking questions.
Hey, why do you think people don't go anymore? You know,
yeah, like, why don't people go to church? And they're just like, well, you know, like, I don't know, they just don't have time. Or, like, it was, like, put on them by their parents, and so they don't want to have to be, you know, there's more freedom in college and stuff. And it's like, well, like, what, like, why don't you go, you know, and ask them that question and stuff. And it just like get the ball rolling and just be like, or like other times I would ask them like, you know, like, why does it seem like people aren't happy in today's world? Like, it seems like we have everything that we want mm-hmm. in society, but like, and like partying and all this stuff, like, but it doesn't seem like people are happy. Cause I knew like when I was doing all the party scene, like I wasn't happy. And like a lot of my friends are doing the same stuff. They weren't happy. A lot of people we had talked to at these parties were not happy. They looked like they were having fun, but it was disguised by alcohol and, you know.
You know, there was a study I read the other day about Colorado, about Denver particular, where Denver is like on physical fitness and like jobs, you know, financial and stuff. We're like way in the top percentile,
right?
Like of happy. And then under purpose, whether you feel like you have purpose mm-hmm. and whether you have a strong social connection, like you're alone, whether or not you're lonely. We were like in the bottom fourth
right.
of America.
Right.
So everybody here is like got plenty of money, They live in one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're in really good shape. There's plenty of stuff to do. And they're lonely and they feel completely without purpose.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, like the gospel the other day was about transfiguration, right? Right. And I really think like people, if they like do have that experience with God and stuff, like they get really excited, like God gives them everything that they want, but then like, but he puts you right through those trials right after that, like excitement, right? And so like people don't, I think, understand how to go through those trials because they don't have Christ in their life, which is like, it's sad because it's like we are like as Catholics and stuff. I mean, we're still learning about how to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, like as Catholics. I think like the Protestants have that really going pretty well for them. They do it right. And we're just still learning how to do it. And, but like once you have it, like you realize like, yeah, he's going to be there with that suffering. And just like trying to explain that to a college student is like, sometimes they get it. Sometimes they're just like, eh, whatever, dude, like good talking with you, but I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
So nothing.
Well, and as Catholics,
and it comes down to suffering. They just don't understand suffering.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, well, that's the thing is that it's like, look at the transfiguration, you know, they're up on the mountaintop and then that, and this instinct is like, no, let's extend this. Right. Let's keep it going. I'll build some booths.
Right.
I want to build these things and we're all going to stay here and we're going to be like
just
this.
Me and you, Jesus, we're going to do
hang
this.
Out.
Me we're drink Bush Light next to these tents.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's going to come up and see us and we're just going to stay here in this moment. And it's like, no. And then like the next line is like, and they went down to, you have to go down.
Yep.
You can't stay on that mountaintop.
And then they got to see Jesus suffer.
Yeah. You got to go down. You got to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you go to that mountaintop so you can go down. But going down is the point, not staying up there. You know?
Right.
And as people don't understand that.
Yeah. And so that's the toughest part like with college students was like getting that point across. Like, yeah, like you're going to school, like you're going to hopefully get a great job and make money, but it's not going to bring you your ultimate happiness.
So how have you made that transition from getting out of focus? You're working. What's it like trying to like find your way and be a decent human being and a Catholic in this world as a single guy and trying to figure out what to do with your world?
I am dating a girl right now, so that's good. I guess I'm still single. I'm not married.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this dating and all that is something you and I have talked a lot about.
It's tough. I mean, like I was going through a pretty rough couple years. Just a lot of different little things happen in life. And just like, that was that whole like thing, like of having to go down and go through the trials and stuff after the mountaintop, so to speak. But like just a lot of prayer. Like, I mean, Focus did teach me how to pray. Like especially just like holy hour, holy half hour, like, just like making sure I have that personal prayer time with Jesus. Yeah. And like, I mean, still like in the Catholic bubble here at the Augustine Institute. So we are able to like go to mass at noon every day if we want.
Oh yeah. We're
very like spoiled.
We're super spoiled. It's like, I mean, I come down to get napkins out of the B2 storage and I leave I can like step into the presence of the living God incarnate in the Eucharist.
Right.
And just take, and one of the things that I do here is I also go in there and I stole this out of Father Riley.
Yep.
Just three long breaths.
Yep.
I don't have time. I mean, I got my back in 5 minutes sign on the door.
Yeah.
I just come in, just three long breaths.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then get out, you know, but it's like that we're spoiled or it's right in the midst.
Yeah.
We can pop in.
Yeah. If we want. So it's cool. So I think just like going to mass, making sure I'm going to confession and staying atop of prayer life, like is the most important thing. Like I always like tell my friends, I'm like, are you praying?
We have less than a minute. What do you want to tell the world? What is your manifesto?
Man, my manifesto.
Your 30
right now,
second manifesto.
Just trust in the Lord in the moments of everyday life. Don't try to worry about the future or the past. Just stay in the moment with Jesus.
Man, I tell you what, that's good. I need to hear that. I live in the past and in the future.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm just like,
I've learned that from Walter Chizik. So.
Chizik. Oh, yeah.
He Leadeth Me. It's a great book.
That's a great book.
Read that.
Yeah, it is.
And watch our videos.
Yeah, watch all the videos from the Augustine Institute Studios. All right, John Irvin, thanks for coming out.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Right on. All right, well, this is John Irvin, and you're listening to The Counterposition. Let's.
You're not John Irvin. You're Andrew Whaley.
I said, this is John Irvin. Let's pull the plug. Pop the cork on another episode of The Counterposition. Thanks for coming out.
I take your place, marble stone. I take your place, marble stone.